Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, love from the beginning, word made flesh, breath of heaven. Amen. Let us confess our sinfulness before God and one another, trusting in God's endless mercy and love. Merciful God, we confess that we are not perfect. We have said and done things we regret. We have tried to earn your redeeming grace while denying it to others. We have resisted your call to be your voice in the world. Forgive us, loving God. Give us your righteousness and strength to put aside our failures and the courage to try again. Amen. Dear people of God, hear the good news. Christ the Savior is born. You are loved and forgiven in the name of Jesus, who has come among us. You are freed from proving that you deserve to be loved, because God's love is given to you as the most precious gift of all. Rejoice in this love and share it with the world. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, you know that we cannot place our trust in our own powers. As you protected the infant Jesus, so defend us and all the needy from harm and adversity. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Children, today I'm going to give you a little lesson on a couple things. First of all, tomorrow is the day of Epiphany. So the Christmas season is 12 days long. And actually, the 12 days of Christmas is really a church thing that they put into a song. And so three men of pipers piping and all that. That is just somebody who took those 12 days and put special gifts to them. But so there's 6 days prior. After Christmas, there's 6 days, and then there's 6 days prior. Let's see. Why are we here? There's 12 all total. And there's one play. Oh, Christmas. Okay, so today's Sunday. 6 days prior to this. No, that's not right either. I'm glad I'm teaching this lesson. Let's go right on to what I was wanting to talk about. So the Epiphany generally is the coming of the wise men. So that's 12 days later. And the coming of the wise men came because of a star, right? There was a professor at the University of Minnesota that gave a lecture called the Star of Bethlehem Lecture. And his name was Carlos Kolfmanis. And he said that he could map the movement of planets at that time. Did you know that the brightest so-called stars in the sky are planets? In fact, last night, there was a crescent moon and planet Venus was right above it. Very beautiful last night. Sure, should be there tonight too. But he could map out that at the time of Jesus' birth, three planets came together in an alignment. So the Star of Bethlehem was really three planets that you could see that made it look like one huge star was in the sky. And he called this the Star of Bethlehem, and it was kind of cool to think that there's actually an astronomer who could figure this out and map out the planets as they moved in the sky. Because they're all over the place, you know. The stars pretty well move very slowly, but the planets move quite quickly. And then those three wise men, aren't really three in the Bible. In the Bible, they're called wise men, not kings. And we don't know how many there were. We just know there was more than one. But we do know they had three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So there's the thought that maybe there was three wise men because of the three gifts. And it's not necessarily certain how many there were. But they were very important in the birth of Jesus because they were not of faith. They were people that, outside of the faith, knew that this is something special. And so we see Jesus' birth as something that was special for the world, and maybe not just limited to the Christian faith, because it goes to those men from the East coming to see and observe the star and to honor the Christ child also. It's a very good story. So let's fold your hands and bow your heads, and we'll pray this prayer. Dear Jesus,
we thank you
that you have provided for us the means by which we can worship you and follow the star to your presence. Amen. Okay, good. You can go to Sunday school now. Thank you. Jesus loves the little children.
Reading from Isaiah. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel, that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, "Surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely." And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 148 responsibly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you angels. Sing praise, all you hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven and heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded, and they were created.
Who made them stand fast forever and ever, giving them a law that shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind, doing God's will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all faithful servants. The children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Please stand. Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet through the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what has been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Take up and take the child and his mother and go up to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead. And Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. I have a cold and trying to keep my throat lozenges readily available just in case I get a coughing fit. So I remember a little story about a Sunday school class. And in that Sunday school class was a little boy. And the class assignment was that they were to draw a picture of the Nativity, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. At least scenes from that story. And some drew pictures of angels, others drew pictures of shepherds. Some was the actual manger and the baby and the mother and Joseph. Some the three kings. But one little boy drew an airplane with two stick figures standing outside. And the teacher said, Johnny, who are those stick figures? And he said, it's Mary and Joseph. And she said, well, what's that airplane there for? And he said, that's their flight to Egypt. That's what the Bible says. He took them quite literally. So last Sunday, I talked to you about what I call a confirmation of the Spirit. That when independently people have an awareness of something that is to take place or of an idea or whatever it might be, that they have independently this idea or this awareness, and they come together and realize they all have the same awareness, but it was formulated independently of one another. Last week it was Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, and that it occurred to them by angels. It was Joseph from the book of Matthew. It was Mary from the book of Luke. And also from the book of Luke were the shepherds. All of them had experiences of angels. Angels who told them not to be afraid. Angels that told them that Jesus was to be born as a holy birth, not by virtue of a relationship of marriage. And that this was going to be a very special child. So this was a confirmation that this is a message from God, because again, these formulations were formed independently of one another. We have yet another kind of understanding of a confirmation of the Spirit today in our scriptures. And that is, instead of having independently formulated the whole story, there's bits and pieces of the story that are formulated independently of one another, and they're called prophecies. In the book of Matthew, there are actually five prophecies concerning Jesus. Each of them have a little bit of the story. But when you come together with these prophecies together, as Matthew has accumulated them, you realize this is a message from God. And the fact that these prophecies came, at least in two of the instances, between 700 and 800 BC, that's even more an amazing occurrence, that you can pull together these little bits and pieces of the story, bring them together, and it's the story of Jesus. So in last week's lesson, we had the prophecy from the book of Isaiah chapter 5. And that was where Joseph was able to hear the voice of the angel in his dream, that he was going to have a son, it was going to be a virgin birth, and that the quotation from scripture is, and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God's with us. Prophet one, number one. Then comes, we have three of the prophecies in our lessons for today. First of all, we have the wise man who went to Herod looking for the king of the Jews. They were following the star from in the east. And they asked Herod, of all people, where is this king to be born of the Jews? And you don't want to ask Herod that question, because he's really insecure about his own position as king. And this is a rivalry then, and so that's going to come back to haunt them. But Herod goes to the chief priests and scribes of the Jews and asks them, where was it that the Messiah is supposed to be born, this king? And they say, the prophecy is that the king will be born in Bethlehem. And that's from the prophet Micah. And so the wise men go to the baby Jesus, and they give him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then Joseph gets they're warned in a dream not to return by way of Herod, but to return by a different way. And Joseph gets in a dream that, and again, he seems to talk to God through dreams, in a dream that they should escape to Egypt, because Herod's going to want to kill this child. And that's a fulfillment of Scripture. from the book of Hosea, which says that out of Egypt I will call my son. And so they escape to Egypt. And in the meantime, Herod is extremely angry that he's been deceived by the wise men. They don't return to him. And so he decides to kill all the children in and around Bethlehem who are 2 years old or younger. And that's in a fulfillment of another scripture, which again is from our lesson for today, which is from the book of Jeremiah, which says that Rachel is weeping for her children because they are no more. And Rachel is an allusion to the wife of Jacob and Esau. Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob and Esau. And Rachel is the wife of Jacob, who later becomes Israel. So we know now that this weeping of Rachel is an allusion to all of Israel is going to be weeping for these children that are gone. They are no more. And then the final scripture that points to a prophecy is when Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus are in Egypt. And there, in a dream again, God comes to Joseph and tells him that Herod is now dead, so it's safe to return back into Israel. And they decide themselves that Herod's brother is just as bad as Herod, so he doesn't want to go back, take Mary and the baby to Bethlehem, but rather goes back where he came from originally, which was Nazareth. And that's the 11th chapter of Isaiah, which says that the Messiah will be called a Nazarene. 5 different prophecies. 4 of them different prophets. All of them having little bits and pieces of the same story, which is a confirmation of the Spirit in another way to explain it or understand it. Now, in my book study with the men, they asked me whether or not this is true with evil, if it's true with God. And I thought at first, well, that could be. I never thought of it. And so I've been thinking about it. And to me, evil is almost acts opposite of this. Instead of exterior independent understandings of God, where people come together and realize they all have the same understanding because it is from God, evil acts more like an infection. It acts from one single source that spreads out from that one single source. The example given to me was Hitler. Certainly, Hitler had a way of having his evil be spread throughout not only Germany, but he wanted to spread it out throughout the whole world. His Aryan race understanding of life and the murderous parts of that. But even King Herod is a single source of that evil. And King Herod is the one who spreads out that evil to all others. And so therefore, evil acts like opposite of that. Instead of having this cooperation or this collaboration of different people having different understandings of what's right, and they come together and realize they all have the same understanding, this understanding comes from a single source and it infects all other people. That's evil for us. Now, you can't tell this story about Jesus and his family fleeing to Egypt, the flight to Egypt, without thinking how important and how likely it is for people to receive people who are refugees and people who are seeking asylum from evil that is happening in the world. I can't remember this. A lot of times I ask my wife for my memory because I don't remember anything. somebody told me that we have a tendency to talk about WWJD, what would Jesus do? But they said we should rather be thinking about WWWDJ, what would we do to Jesus? And the question for us is a very moral question. What would we do to Jesus if Jesus and his family came to our borders and asked us for asylum and a place for them to find safety? And we would have to say, under these circumstances, you'd stay where you're at. You're not going to come in. You're going to have to figure out another way and be here and get into the line where 2% are going to somehow be able to be accepted. It's a sad situation because I remember as a Lutheran pastor, We used to be so open as a church to welcoming refugees from other countries. I was a part of the Hmong community, the Cambodians, during World War II, and how we welcomed these people to come into our time, because we felt somewhat of an obligation being a part of that war over there and having these refugees as a result. When I was in Phoenix, we welcomed Sudanese refugees. And they were suffering from the persecution of Islamic government that was killing them. And that's where the lost boys of Sudan come in. Somehow, we've lost our way as a country and have not closed our borders to such a degree that we are no longer people who welcome those who are refugees and who are somehow separated and being persecuted. And if they were Jesus, that would be a sad circumstance. Because Jesus says, as you're doing it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing it to me. We are, in fact, rejecting Jesus at our border. And we have to be people who have more of an understanding for and a compassion for the people around us than is presently being demonstrated. Nancy is an immigration lawyer, and I love listening to her stories about people that she's helping to come to this country. Because to me, that's the faith. That's the faith in which we live, and it's the faith that helps us to live out the Christmas story as it is necessary for us to do. What would we do to Jesus if he were the one at our border? Amen.